Oh, hello. Someone's keen. Has it been a week already? Oh, Catrick. Look, she's at it now. Where's she gone? Ugh. Come on in anyway. Get indoors before we let all the heat out. Did you see how she shot off then? Christ, anyone would think I keep her hostage. Ah, she'll be back in a bit when her belly starts rumbling. Don't let her fool you. She might have the build of a pipe cleaner, but she's as greedy as a lion, that one. It's good to see you again. I don't know where the weeks are going, you know. But it's nice to see a friendly face. Hey. I've been here that long, just me and the cat. Curtains will be twitching all over the village like a Mexican wave in a haberdashery shop when they get wind of you on my doorstep. I think they think I'm a bit strange round here, you know. Mind you, this hairstyle probably doesn't help, does it? But who cares, eh? Let them talk. I'm just happy to have someone to share the olfactory with after all this time. Warms my heart to know all these special scents and their potent memories aren't going to waste. I've been racking my brains trying to think of which bottle to pluck from the shelves next, and then last night it came to me, just as I was going to bed. I was sat just where you are now, waiting for the last embers of the fire to go out. You know, watching as the smoke made its final ghostly dance up the chimney. And it hit me. I couldn't stop smiling thinking about it. I've got it here ready. This one was bottled by Niko Tatarevich. He's a writer and actor, all round a very talented man, you could say. And a lovely bloke too. You'd recognise his stuff. He's just finished up writing for the new series of Spitting Image that came out last year. And the scent that he chose to bottle, wait for it, is the smell of his mom smoking in the car. I can see you screwing up your nose, but don't be put off. Oh no, you're gonna like it, I promise. Here, have a whiff of this.
I'm getting fags and car. No, it's, I mean, you can't not say smoky, so I guess it's a smoky smell, but it wasn't that, and it wasn't even like, when you think of where we're at now with cigarette smoke, it's not like it was like, oh, for God's sake, you know, I've walked into a smoky room. Something about the smell when she'd light up from that little lighter in a car. There's almost a sort of mysterious sweetness to it. I was aware that it was different, and I didn't know why, but I knew I liked it, and I knew it was a smell that wasn't supposed to be pleasant. So I was intrigued myself with why this combination of the car upholstery, this small space, and this first plume of smoke that had a sort of... When a fag is first lit, that might even be it. There's something about that first bit, you know, when it first singes the end, and maybe there's a slightly different edge to that smell. It's a little bit like the first sip of a can of Coke that sort of grabs your throat on the way down. No other sip is the same as that. I remember thinking, I'm going to remember this. I was like, already knew it was nostalgic. I think we're talking here, could be anywhere, 78, 79, right through the 80s, really. Me and my mum were on our own at this point, because my dad wasn't around, right? So, because it was me and her, it was just us two. If someone came to get us, that was our way of doing anything, really, because if it wasn't for that, we used to get the bus in a town in Manchester or whatever. So if someone came to get us, it meant we were going over to someone's house for Sunday lunch, say, or maybe someone was taking us to, like, Chester Zoo or Blackpool or Rhyl or somewhere like that, or Jodrell Bank in Manchester, which is, like, where there's a planetarium and all that. So I guess it was always happening when something more exciting than usual was happening. You know, you get the smell wafting over. And in a way, that's like saying, it's like opening the champagne, isn't it? It's like, right, we're off. In those days, 20 Bensons is what she bought, what she smoked. I used to tell her off for smoking, but I used to open the box as often as possible and sniff the foil and maybe lift a fag out and have a sniff of it. And I used to think it smelt great, and it smelt great in the car, but generally I disapproved of it and would say, oh, Mum, I've seen a poster at school, Superman and nicotine, and he says nicotine's a weed and you can't smoke because it's bad for you. So I knew it was bad, but I thought they smelt great. So yeah, 20 Bensons. And then slightly later in life, it's quite comical, really, that for health reasons, she went on to Silk Cut. Do you know what I mean? Like, that was like the equivalent of going on a diet. If I sort of close my eyes and think about what I can see, I'm seeing a sort of some sort of day trip somewhere. I had a godmother who took us to lots of places, a couple of aunties and uncles or friends of my mum. I'm in the back, obviously, with or without a seatbelt at that point. And what's happening is two adults are having a laugh and you're just along for the ride. And they don't ignore you because, you know, you're part of it. But you're enjoying hearing adults talk. And I always like being with the grown-ups when they're having fun. There was a couple called Dorothy and Bernard, who, when we lived in Spain, used to take us out to restaurants. We'd be going down some sort of dangerous Spanish road. Mum's all glammed up in the 80s gear, jumpsuits and perfume, right? And you know, my mum is she's really glamorous looking, actually, right from the 60s. I mean, like the era, not her age. She didn't like slack off until she was 60. And yeah, so the women would be all dolled up, and that's a brilliant memory when you're talking about the 80s anyway, isn't it? You know, the smell of, that'd be another thing that would be in there, wouldn't it, be the perfume? So probably, remember the blue, what, silver and black bottles, was it Lontharic? Something like that. I was enjoying the humour between the adults mixing with that intoxicating smell of grown-ups smoking right in children's faces whilst wearing perfume. You're literally inhaling adult toxins. I used to breathe it in, like up my nose, like, you know. And in those moments, it felt like I could see the attraction. It made smoking a bit exotic and a bit, and also made me associate it with going to places and being out and having fun and all that. Which I wouldn't have thought the same thing if she's having a fag at home, which, you know, a lot of people did then. You just sat in the house and you sparked up whoever was there. As you see in old TV shows and films, people just light up in front of people. We did. The people still smoked at work when I started working. Definitely, it's a happy memory. Which is why I like it, because it's fags in front of children in a small space, but it's a really happy, it's a happy smell. And definitely a sense of excitement and like something cool was happening and getting a glimpse into the grown-up world, being able to do things that are bad for you and that be fun. That's what it reminds me of. To my dismay, she's still doing it and probably slightly pretends she smokes a little bit less than she does. Like, oh yeah, I don't have like three or four a day now and whatever, but basically now she's on the iPad with a fag on and never happier than when there's no one around, so she can just do it inside without anyone getting at her to go outside. It's something that actually genuinely caused a couple of proper big arguments over the years, but now it's like a contentious issue. There's never been a war that has sort of settled down. There's an uneasy truce around the issue. If my mum heard this conversation, there is a chance that there would be a bomb to defuse. We're in a good spot the last year or two. There's a lot of mutual respect there, and I would like to not ruin that by her hearing this.
Oh, I love it. I love it because it's such an unusual scent to choose. But then again, our olfactory worlds are such a private thing, aren't they? No two scents smell the same to each person or carry the same emotions or memories. I don't know, perhaps it's because of the times we grew up in, but I know exactly what Nico means when he talks about being a little kid and just enjoying getting a little glimpse into the adult world, wanting to be part of it, and it seeming so much fun. My mum never smoked, but my dad did occasionally at home, and so did my auntie and uncle. They'd come round the house sometimes on a Saturday night, and the grown-ups would all gather together in the front room, as we called it, and they'd talk and laugh and smoke and drink and sing the night away. Us kids were given a coveted role on those nights. We'd be in charge of going down to the shed with the big grey torch and keeping their pints topped up with some of Dad's home brew. We'd protest, of course, to start with. Oh, it's too cold. It's too dark. But then you'd remember. Oh, yes. No one's around. A sip for me. Splash for you. A sip for me. Splash for you. Tilt the glass. Another sip. Wipe the edge so no one notices. It felt dangerous and exciting stood in that little shed with the torch beaming down on you, illuminating each plume of breath as you struggled to stifle your giggles, anticipation filling the air. Then you'd enter the adult domain and carefully deliver their drinks. The stale, intoxicating smell of cigarettes in the ashtray and home brew hitting you all at once. You'd linger, of course, awaiting praise for your excellent pint-pouring skills, sitting and eavesdropping on their conversation for a while or trying to make them laugh, all the while clocking their smiles get wider and their belly laughs deeper as the night progressed. It just seems so fascinating, the adult world. What went on in that room? Exciting, illicit, mysterious and fun. That's the best way to describe it, actually. Fun. I mean, it's all just hangovers, headaches and heartburn now, but as a kid, you so desperately wanted to join in and be part of that experience. None of which you really understood, but it didn't matter. You're just absorbing it all by osmosis, taking it in one sensory experience at a time and logging it, how it made you feel, sniffing the foil packet. Just like little Nico in that car all those years ago. Oh, can you hear that? Told you she wouldn't be long, didn't I, little greedy guts? That's my cue to stop chewing your ear off, I think. Do me a favour, will you, and let the cat in on your way out. Save me getting up. And don't forget to have a little think about what scent conjures up the magic elixir of memory for you, because I'd love to hear it. As you well know, there's plenty of room on the shelves yet, tell your friends. Tell your friends and tell your family too. Write to me at theolfactorypod@gmail.com if you've got a story you'd like to share with me. And Katrick and I will get back to you as soon as we can. Go on, and I'll see you next time. Smell you later.